If he said don't evil communications, corrupt good manners, don't, you can't follow evil because you're going to get corrupt. And guess what? For your corrupt manners, you're going to be prosecuted for that. You're going to stand before the judgment, and you'll have to give an account to God that you looked the other way and you didn't do what he said. So, saints of God, the lesson that we did today, it was about God's word is settled. It's already settled. It's not going to become unsettled. We talked about giving of thanks. We talked about God never changed. His word never changed. And we talked about the last days and the last day prophecy of what's going to be happening. Men will be turning against God. They will be following their own rules and their own regulations, and they'll turn from the Bible.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare Broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5880.
When we put it all together, Alexander, this is what we like to call you,
Jesus. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1. As we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Psalms number 133, verse 1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." May the Lord add a blessing to his word. You may be seated in his presence. For just a little while, I want to talk about what a fellowship. What a fellowship. This is not your average fellowship. This is not a fellowship of folk who know not God. Many times this verse is used in welcomes, in responses to welcomes for special days and special ceremonies. But this verse goes so much deeper than those usages that we have used it in the past. One of the things that I want to speak to concerning this verse is what's in this fellowship. What is required in this fellowship? Just because folk get together don't mean they have fellowship. Just because folk are gathered together in the same place doesn't mean that they're on the same accord. Don't mean that they have the same agenda. It doesn't mean that they are there for the same purpose. And so one of the things that I want you to understand and recognize about this verse is it starts off with us being called earnestly to look closely at what's being said. When it starts off with the word behold, it's a word that literally means to bring that which is far up close. It's from the same primitive etymological root word we get binocular from, which means to take that
and view something off and make it closer. In other words, we want to take this word and look at it there closely. It says, how good. This very word good, in many of its definitions, share multiple understandings of it. But what I want to bring out is the word that fits what I'm sharing today. It is important to understand that this word good means proper. So behold how proper and how pleasant. The word pleasant is another word with multiple definitions, but the one that fits best here, because you do realize this is a psalm. It is a song. And one of the definitions of this word pleasant is sweet music. Sweet music. Now you've got to recognize that it's sweet music unto the Lord. David and those who wrote psalms wrote the words as songs unto the Lord. And the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It says, sing a new song unto the Lord, which suggests that every believer who has a relationship with God ought to at some time or another make sweet music unto the Lord. Ought to be able to, when you think of his goodness to you and when you meditate on what God has done for you, where God has brought you from, what God is doing in your life now, how God has saved you, how God has strengthened you, how God has stretched you. Can I get a witness in the house somewhere? How God has blessed you. You ought to be able to write your own love song to God. I'm talking about a song that you can write somebody else might not be able to sing. Because what he's done for you, he may not have done for somebody else. And so it means to make sweet music. Now, what makes sweet music unto the Lord? I'm glad you asked. In this verse, it is the understanding of how brothers and sisters of the faith, the family of God. This is not talking about worldly people. This is not talking about outsiders. This is talking about those who've been blood bought. These are people whom the Lord has redeemed, who have given themselves to understanding that they belong to the Lord, and the Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed them, and we are of the holy family of God, and we belong to God, and we are brothers and sisters of the faith. So if we are brothers and sisters of the faith, we are brethren. We are family. I got all my brothers and sisters. What? All right, act like you know something here. Now, listen. How proper and pleasant it is for brethren, family folk, here it is, to dwell. Dwell. Now, this word dwell means to abide. Abide. That means, listen at this, and I'm going to break this verse down, because there are three things that you must have in fellowship for God to be pleased with the fellowship. And the first one is in this word, dwell. It literally means to be present. To be present. You can't dwell if you're not present. You have got to be in the company of the brethren to dwell together. You're not dwelling with the family if you're not present with the family. And listen at this. God wants his children to come together. No wonder David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Listen, it wasn't about a singular desire. It was about the children of God, the people of God, the brethren, to come together and worship the only true God, to be a part of the family of God in fellowship together. You've got to be present in order to be accounted for. Some people say, well, I was there in spirit. No, no, no. You see, too many spirits and not enough bodies make things spooky. You need to be here in the body, in the flesh. Here you are accounted for in the flesh. I'm here. When the roll is called here, when the roll is called present. And so presence is important to the unity and to the fellowship. So many people miss God because they're not present when God shows up. You do remember when Jesus had risen that Sunday morning. He had told the disciples to meet him in Galilee. That evening they were having church, and Jesus walked through the doors. Didn't open them, didn't check to see if it were locked or not. He just walked through the doors, showed up and showed out. Thomas found out Monday morning that he missed Jesus Sunday night. And Thomas said, no, no, I don't believe it. Can I tell you why he didn't believe it? Because he wasn't present. See, a lot of folk don't believe stuff happens when it happens when they're not present. See, God moves in a special way. And that time, God desires to move in a way to bless all the people of God. And so, listen, how many times when God has moved and folk that should have been here weren't there, and you tried to tell them about it, but you could not convey all that God was doing because it was too grand, too great, too wonderful to even try to explain it. And listen, that they have that attitude because they weren't there. Then Thomas said, well, listen, I won't believe unless I see him for myself, put my hands in his fingers and in the side where he's been speared, and I won't believe the real Jesus was here until I can see it for myself. Next Sunday night, Thomas showed up. Next Sunday night, Jesus showed up. He had to wait 2 weeks to see Jesus when he could have seen him on resurrection night. You see, sometimes we miss our blessings because we're not present. Am I talking to anybody in the house today? I'm sorry, the reason not why I can't get the amens I want, because the people ain't present. Second thing, he says, dwell together. And this word lends itself to purpose. Because when we come together for the purpose of glorifying God. To praise and give him glory, to worship him for who he is. It is the purpose of giving God all that he desires from his creation to the Creator. We're not here for us. We're not here to build ourselves up. We're not here to make ourselves look good, but it is to make the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father know how much we appreciate all that he is to us, all that he's done for us, and all that he's going to do for us. And that we are glad to be children of the Most High God. That we're glad our names are written on the Lamb's Book of Life. We're glad that we walk in authority and have power to do what he says we can do. We are glad that he's called us from darkness into his marvelous light. We are glad that he changed and transformed us, and we're no longer our own, and we're no longer what we used to be, and yet he's still working on us. And every time we show up, he keeps tuning us. Every time we show up, he keeps pruning us. Every time we show up, he keeps talking to us and telling us everything's going to be all right. He keeps encouraging us and strengthening us and helping us to mature in the things of God. And every time we show up, we are better when we leave. But our coming together is for a purpose. And it's God's glory and our good. And the last thing I'm going to tell you, and I'm closing it, is that the Bible says, dwell together in unity. Now, lest I miss the mark in preaching, this word unity goes all the way back to the love of God. And when we look at the word unity, we are unified in the love of God. What unifies us is his love. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. What we have comes from God and the love that God has given to us, and we are because he is. Our love comes as an extension of his love to us, so he wants his love to go through us to run one to another. Listen at this. God wants his love to be evident in his children. Something is wrong if you say you belong to God and don't have no love in your heart. Jesus said, the only way that men will know that you are my disciples is if you have love one to the other. People come and they see how we act. And if there is no love one to other, then something is wrong. Somebody is a liar. If you say you're a Christian and you belong to the Lord, you were born of love. Love is in your heart, it's in your spirit. It's a part of who you are. It ain't something you put on, it's something that's in you. And so the demonstration of love, it boggles my mind how folk could talk about they love the Lord and be so hateful to one another. How you can say you love the Lord, but you hate your brother whom, listen, you see every day, and love God whom you've not seen. God says, I want to interrupt this conversation, but you are a liar, and the truth is not in you. Because if the truth were in you, you'd have to declare that the love of God is upon. I know I have passed from death unto life because I love the brethren. And so when people act like they act and there is no love of God in them, I know they ain't my brother. I know they ain't my sister. They may be a stepbrother or a stepsister, but they ain't no real brother, no real sister, because they have not stepped into the fullness of the love of Christ. They're pretending like they are. Yeah. They got their name on the roll, but they ain't never been changed. They've never been dipped in the blood. They've never been washed. Yeah, something is wrong when you say you're a Christian and there is no love in you. So listen at this. So the unity represents the love of God. If you miss unity, it means that you miss the plan of God for your life. We love him because he first loved us. And if he loved us first and placed his love in us, and we are all born of God, and all of us have love in us, we are in union together. But listen at this. Our union doesn't mean we're in unity until we demonstrate that love one to another. How many know you can be in union together and not be in unity together? How many marriages are in union, man and wife, but they're headed for divorce because there is no unity? If you're scared to say amen and your spouse is sitting on the side of you, I understand. How many churches are falling apart because we say we love the Lord, but there is no proof of that in our worship? There is no proof of that in our witness. There is no proof of that in our living. There is no proof of that in our giving. There is no proof of that in all of the things that we represent. And there is no unity. We've got more schisms, more cliques, more divisions than the people out in the world. You got more folk who talk about you in the church than the folk that talk about you outside the church. You got more folk that lie on you in the church than the folk that lie on your own outside. You got, am I talking to anybody in the house? You got more folk that's in your business in the church than the people in the world. And it's not to help you, it's to bring you down. Those are not the people of God. Their spirit does not bear witness to God's spirit. And you've got to be careful of that spirit, because everybody that say I'm saved ain't saved. And some of the old folk used to say a long time ago, everybody say I'm going to heaven, ain't going. So, listen, unity has to do with the love of God being demonstrated in the people of God. And so that last word means participation. To have a fellowship that God wants us to have, what a fellowship when we can be present with purpose and participation. And in our union, be united. Come together as one. Do you know how much power we have when we come together? I was telling the church this morning, Charles Schultz, who wrote the cartoon Peanuts, Linus was watching television, and Lucy came in the room and demanded he turn the channel. And Linus looked at Lucy and says, what gives you the right to tell me to change the channel? And Lucy balled up her fist and said, my fist. And she said, you see these five fingers? They're not much individually. She said, but when I roll them up into one single unit, they're a terrible weapon to behold. And Linus said, what channel you want me to turn it to? And while he was going to turn the channel, he looked at his five fingers and said, now why can't y'all be organized like that? They were all in union. They were all on his one hand. But they had not learned the power of being united Am I talking to anybody in the house? There is so much power when we come together and unite ourselves in unity. And it begins with the love of God. Just loving your brother and loving your sister. Stop looking for the faults. Stop looking for the failures. Stop looking for the fractures. Stop looking for the frustrations. Just love them with the love of God and watch God do a new thing. My brothers and my sisters, what a fellowship. What a joy divine. When we all get together and trust God for what he's done through Jesus for each and every one of us. God bless you. God keep you is my prayer. Somebody ought to want to be signed up for the Christian Jubilee. Want to be in unity with the Lord. Want to be in unity with the brothers and sisters who have been saved by the blood of Christ. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you've come from. I don't know what your issues are. But Jesus does. And if he's calling you to come to him, he knows what's going on. You don't have to explain all of those things. Just say, Lord, I surrender me to you. I give you my heart and come to him. The doors of the church are open. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus now. He's waiting on you. All you have to do is get up out of that chair, that seat, that bench. Don't worry about who's looking. Don't worry about what folk will say. Just say, sign me up for the Christian Jubilee and write my name on the roll. I've been changed. I've been changed since the Lord has lifted me. This is your time. Will you come? Will you come? Sign me up, sign me up, sign me up. Is there one today? This may be your last chance, your last opportunity, but no, God knows who you are today. Make no mistake about it. He knew you would be here today. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're dealing with. And if you don't have a relationship with him, I wouldn't wait another day. I wouldn't let this opportunity pass me by. Glory to God. Glory to God.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon